Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Disrupt Tech. It's been about 2 months since we've touched base. I wanted to bring something that would be really, really nice to our audience, which you're definitely going to get today. I'm going to do something rare, and I'm not going to spend too much time introducing her. This podcast is all about retail, regular traditional retail as an emerging technology. So traditional retail is an emerging technology, and we are brought on by our wine connoisseur, Aubrey Terrazas, and she actually lives in Lyon, France, which is an absolutely beautiful place. It's France's biggest hidden gem. Everyone loves Paris, and we kind of talk about that a little. We're going to get into that, but everyone talks about Paris. But Lyon, France is just breathtaking. So she's originally from the States, and her husband moved there to kind of get into the wine industry even more. She is the co-founder of Palette Club, which is an online retail wine distributor. And she kind of gets into, you know, being a co-founder, being a woman, and most importantly, you know, transferring retail onto online and making it profitable and successful as, you know, in the world, in the age of technology. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a really great episode. She's very, very passionate about what she believes, what she's doing. You're going to get a lot of great tips and insights from her. It's just going to be really, really exciting because, I mean, this woman just truly loves what she does. And she's just a really great heavy hitter at the moment. So you guys be ready for that. So I'm excited to bring her on. Quick updates. Since we last spoke, Disrupt Tech is doing well. Make sure you join us on our Facebook at Disrupt Tech Podcast. Make sure you can always email us with any questions that you have about this episode at disrupttechpodcast@gmail.com. And you can always leave questions here. If we get enough questions, we do a live cast on Fridays to provide questions to any or answers to any questions that our audience may have. We will be coming on a little bit more consistently now, which we wanted to really have a good feel for what we wanted to do with this podcast and what we wanted to bring our listeners, such as you, because it's important to us. So we took the time to develop it and grow, and it's definitely there. So I hope you guys really, really look forward to the remainder of this season. So anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back and we're going to dive right in with Aubrey Terrazas. She is the co-founder of Palette Club. All right. So guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Our now is next. That is the perfect hashtag for Alani Magazine. It's an award-winning publication that is online at www.alanimag.com. Get all the great things coming down the pike in the world of business, finance, sports and entertainment, and friendly advice. Again, that's www.alanimag.com. Hello, welcome back, everyone. We are joined today by Aubrey Terrazas. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that was good.
Oh, thank you. So we are joined. I gave you a little bit of an introduction in our first half of the segment. Just a little bit, but obviously I want them to hear from you. So you are basically kind of running the show with the wine industry online, like digitally, correct?
I would say that Palette Club is definitely disrupting things.
Yeah, when I was researching it, I was like, oh wow, this is awesome. It actually gave me the inspiration for the title of this episode. I was like, this is wonderful. And I wanted to touch base about using emerging technology for traditional things such as retail, but also you being kind of a woman and it being woman owned and things like that. So if you could, so that they don't only have my perception of your business, tell us about your company and your mission.
Yeah, absolutely. Palette Club is a wine club that uses AI to match wines to your taste. So we're all about just, you know, eliminating the experience of drinking bad wine and just really bringing it back down to like loving what, just enjoying the glass in front of you and not being worried about what you should be drinking, what other people think. So you can either create a wine profile by tasting wines and rating them in the app, or you can set up a quiz about wines that you like. And then it actually creates a wine profile based on over 200 data points. Time you rate, it sort of has a Netflix effect in that every time you rate wines in your shipment, then your profile gets smarter and more cute. And we send you wines from around the world that are matched to your taste.
That's awesome. And where are you located?
The company is primarily located in San Francisco. It ships to 46 states. I live in France.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That's awesome. And how long have you been operating?
We launched in November 2017.
Awesome. And so wait, what part of France do you live in?
I live in Lyon.
Oh my God. Okay. So I spent 2 months in France a few years ago. And around the time actually that your company launched. And I was in Bordeaux for about a month. And then I was in Paris for a few weeks. And then I went to Lyon. And I had a friend who lived in Lyon. I had never heard of it. And I fell in love with it. I was only supposed to stay for maybe 2 days. And I stayed for 3 weeks.
Wow. Yeah, it's kind of like a hidden gem, I think, for a lot of Americans.
It is. I was going to say, so when I got back to the States, I tell everyone, when everyone's talking about Paris, I was like, you need to go to Lyon. It's a hidden gem. It's so beautiful. It's so many people don't know about it. So it's really calm. And, you know, and all the cathedrals. I got on that crazy train that takes you all the way up. and then the back road where the merchants are and everything. I mean, it's just a beautiful place. So sorry, side note, but I have not met anyone from Lyon since I've been back. So yeah, you're literally like the most amazing place in the world.
I'm really happy that we ended up, we moved actually, my husband and I moved here in October 2019. And so it was just months before COVID got crazy. Happy we ended up here instead of Paris, because I mean, it's a city, it's the third biggest city in France, but it's
I wasn't that impressed, honestly. It was my first time in Paris and I was like, it's okay. Like took my breath away. Like, that was a totally different experience.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So let me ask you this: is the club fully operational online? So is it only online, or do you guys have stores?
Yeah, for now it is only online. In the future, maybe we'll have, you know, stores and kind of more in-person experiences. But yeah, it's an app and it's a website.
Okay, awesome. And can you give the website address just quickly?
Yeah. It's paletteclub.com. That's PALATECLUB. A lot of people think palette like painting, but it's palette like your mouth. And the app has the same name, Palette Club.
I was saying Palate, so thank you. clearing that up. And is it fully woman owned? So I know you're a co-founder. Is the other founder a woman?
Is a French man.
Oh, okay. All right. And so being a co-founder, right? Let me ask you this. Did you guys know each other prior to this? Or is this something that you kind of came into kind of a business arrangement where you were introduced and decided to do this, or was already operating and then you came on board?
Well, it was not operating when we met, but Nicolas, the founder, it was his idea. He was launching it. He's been the main person behind fundraising. And so we didn't know each other prior. We got introduced to my former business partner, who's another woman. He needed to work with some wine experts to build the data for the AI behind the wine club. And so her and I were able to help with that.
So are you a techie?
No, actually, I'm a sommelier. Yeah, the tech was kind of a new thing for me. Okay. I did help with the algorithm, but that's only because I know enough about wine where I was able to identify Wine Trace's data. I worked in restaurants for a really long time, and I'm a marketer. Like, I transitioned into marketing later, but tech is new for me.
That's awesome. No, because, you know, at least algorithms are hard. So at least you had enough, you know, wherewithal, you know, just basically taking your passion and what you knew, and you were able to kind of at least create the design. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I did get some help from data scientists.
What?
I worked with data scientists on that. So I did get some help.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. So let's talk a little bit more about Palette Club. So not the club in general, but I like to ask everyone, I always ask them to give a specific definition, and that definition is usually based off our title. So you said you worked in restaurants. So tell me, what's the difference between a digital wine industry versus traditional retail? Like having something completely online and having something completely, you know, at a location.
Yeah, well, from the like customer's standpoint, I think that the experience is really different, because if you go to a restaurant or a shop, you have someone there with you in person that can talk to you and, you know, read your face and get a feel for what you like. Whereas that's really hard for people online, especially since if they're shopping on their own and they have to sort through, instead of just having a couple of shelves full of wine or, you know, a big book at a restaurant, you have to sort through thousands of labels and figure that out on your own. And that was kind of the inspiration for Palette Club too, is that, you know, it's very, of course, like, you know, everything is moving online in the future, but since we allow you to create this profile first, it allows you to, or it kind of gives you that confidence to be able to shop, because you see this profile, you see that this was matched to your taste. So even if you haven't heard of it, it kind of has the experience of working with a sommelier or even just the guy at the wine shop.
And now you just made a very good point, which kind of leads to my next question, that, you know, there's so much online, so much information, so many things just kind of inundated online, and it's only going to get bigger. Which I don't know, some people will say it's a good thing, some people say it's a bad thing. Regardless, it's going to happen, right? So, you know, what steps did you take to kind of break through the noise with Palette Club to be able to launch online like many businesses do every day, but to be really seen? And I know the first thing you're probably going to say is algorithms, but outside of that, you being a marketing expert, what steps, what plan did you put together, or did your team put together when launching Palette Club?
Yeah, actually initially we had really great success with doing in-person events. And at the time we just were in California, so that was a little bit easier to manage. And obviously everything is different now. We have really great success with working with influencers. Because I do think that wine is one of those things, it's not like a swimsuit where you can just see it online and you're like, yeah, I'll probably like that. And if I don't, I'll just return it. You know, you have to have a little bit more confidence for wine, and so having that backing of someone that you trust really helps. So we've had a lot of success there. And then beyond that, I think, you know, just being very clear with our brand message and with our audience. So when people do come to the site, they kind of understand what we do and who we're for.
Right. Okay. And how long did it take to get the presence?
You know, I would say that we're still definitely a startup. We're still working on the presence, but it's something that does take years. You know, I think that when you see like an overnight success in tech, it's something that probably took like a decade before they got there.
I'm always telling people that. I'm like, if it really happened overnight, those are very few and far between. That is not most entrepreneur story.
Yeah.
that happened. It was, they had knew someone who was a millionaire or something, you know, like it was something that tends to be very rare in any industry that, you know, where you're being an entrepreneur. So I agree with you on that. Sounds like just, you know, the good thing is you can still use traditional marketing too, even if you have an online product. So that helps out a lot. Yeah. Let's kind of get into being in somewhat tech, retail, again, any industry that you're in that is a male-dominated industry. So tech is still seen as a male-dominated industry. Depending on where you are in retail, is still seen as very male-dominated. So what would you say, as the co-founder of Palette Club, what have been your challenges as a woman in tech and retail, et cetera, et cetera?
I think one of the biggest things is just that getting people to trust you right off the bat. And I did start relatively young, you know, with wine being a male-dominated industry. I got into that when I was around 23, and then, or maybe even younger. And then when Palette Club launched, I was in my late 20s. And so, you know, not only a woman, but a young woman, and I'm also very short. I'm very petite. I'm 5'1". And so, you know, I had a lot of, you know, like it looked like a girl to a lot of the men in the room. And so what I say a lot is that, you know, traditionally, I think we're kind of trained in this pattern of a pitch where it's problem solution, and then later you get into the team. But I feel like as a woman, especially a young woman, you have to go in and say why people should listen to you right off the bat, because otherwise they're just gonna turn, you know, they're gonna stop listening right away because they don't see you as credible. So that was a huge thing.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that's just been, I mean, you know, you don't have to give me like a serious deep thought on it, but if you don't want to, but why do you think that is? Do you think that we've just been, males have been trained to not see women as inferior, or do you think it's just kind of par for the course at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of the old school bias still lives on. And I do think that things are changing a bit more with millennials and with younger generation who've, you know, seen women be more successful. But women acting as entrepreneurs, for the most part, is still relatively new. And I also think that, frankly, like men are kind of taught to compartmentalize women. It's easier for them to either she's dateable, or, you know, she's good for this, but it's kind of hard for them to see them as a peer right off the bat until they get to know them.
Right. I agree. I've spent the majority of my life with friends who are males, and I think you nailed it, to be honest with you. One thing I always say, the advantage of being, I'm not only a woman, I'm also a woman of the African diaspora. So, you know, I have my own challenges, true. But at the same time, one thing I'm constantly telling people is that the biggest strength that I have, the biggest ally, I guess we would say, is that they never see me coming because of me. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Superpower of being invisible actually works to my advantage, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I say that to say, what do you think are the benefits outside of, you know, what you just told us? What are the benefits of being a woman, and not the negative? Well, not negative, but the challenges. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a great question, because I do think we focus a lot on the problems, but you know, that is one, is that you're different. And so already, you know, in a room full of pitches, room full of business people, you know, I do stand out because I'm a woman, and, you know, a relatively young woman still. I'm not as young when Palette Club started, but that, you know, it's already a differentiating factor. The other thing too is that I think that women tend to be a little bit more sensitive, And I don't want to generalize or stereotype or anything, but I mean, if you, I think that anytime.
Is that okay
to say? Okay, great.
We don't need to be ashamed of that. Yeah. We're not.
I mean, and that's just the thing is that we're taught that sensitivity is a weakness, but it's actually a strength because, you know, we're able to truly listen to what customers are saying, and even when they're not saying it outright, we have more intuition for things like that. And so we can make maneuvers with our business more quickly because we're more aware of how it's being perceived and also, you know, how our team is feeling too, and when we need to make business decisions around that.
So you said, I'm going to go back a little bit. You said that, you know, you kind of gave the story of how you ended up being a co-founder, how you guys met from a mutual colleague, et cetera, et cetera. But what was it about the idea that sold you on, yes, I'm going to put my energy and my time and my experience into co-founding this club?
I think that it's just, well, first of all, I have such a deep history with wine. I worked in restaurants since I was 14. And so, I mean, really even before I was a somm, I had a career in wine and a passion for wine. So it was really exciting to see a different path for wine. And I think something that is more of the future, something that's a response to what people need instead of the traditional kind of trajectory for a career path in wine, which is working for a fancy restaurant and working evenings for the rest of your life. I guess just the possibilities and helping people really as well find out what they like and discover new wines.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. No, I always want to know people's passion behind things. And, you know, you've mentioned several times in this conversation about kind of things being online and COVID. And the reality is that when COVID hit, I'm fully immune as of Wednesday. So I'm so excited. I'm like back at the gym. I love working out. I hate it when the gym's closed, but
gyms aren't even open in France yet, so I'm dying. They've been closed for over 6 months.
Oh God, yeah. And I like the gym atmosphere. I tried to work out at home, but I just was like ended up falling asleep. The gym keeps me going. One thing about all of that is that we saw this spike in businesses. One, there was a lot more funding being made available for businesses because of COVID, but we saw this spike in people creating businesses. Now, like we said, we were in quarantine, all of us were locked down. So obviously that spike was all online. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of younger children, my niece is 14 and she just told me the other day that she started this little cute online jewelry business, which is adorable to me. She's just adorable. But you know, we saw all of this and people weren't, we know everything was closed. Restaurants were closed, malls were closed. So any businesses launched basically within the last year had to be online. Mm-hmm. So someone who did that, you know, pre-COVID-19, what kind of tips or advice would you give to people to be long lasting online? Because we all know how this works, right? You get 5,000 people start a business online and maybe 10 will survive.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. So what would you say is what you the it that you need to keep powering through it and to, like I said earlier, stand out amongst the crowd?
Well, I think an extremely important thing to be an online business is you have to make it really easy for people. So many people, they find you just because they're scrolling on Instagram. They didn't really, it's not like a mall where they came in to shop. You're disrupting their day to sell them something. So you're lucky if they even come to your landing page. And then from there, you need to make the checkout really seamless and easy for them and make it really clear about what they get. And also to give them a lot of trust too, whether that's through testimonials, press quotes, or even just a really solid, you know, money back guarantee. Because people, that's one of the first things people check now is, you know, what's the return policy if I don't like it? They're afraid to take risks.
Right, that's true. So you would advise to just kind of just basically make it user friendly.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the typical is like advertising and all of that, but you know, just once they get there, if it's difficult, people back out, because like you said, they didn't come to this, they didn't just walk into a store and start shopping around. Something brought them to the site. So the site needs to be easily managed and user friendly.
Yeah. I mean, I do think we talk so much about traffic and getting people to your page, and we could talk for hours about all the different tactics, but yeah. I do think that that's the piece that I find a lot of people aren't talking as much about, is what to do when people actually get there.
I think that's a perfect answer. You know, because that's why I said, I was like, we already know about advertising and marketing and all of those things, you know? Like, so I think you that was exactly, okay, once you've done all of that, you know, what's most important is that that's when you'll lose the customer. You know, you can advertise all day, but if they go on your website and they can't, you know, operate it or use it, then you lost that client or you lost that customer. So I absolutely agree with you. Well, Aubrey, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. It's been really fun.
Yeah, no, because I want people to be inspired. You know, the world of tech is still very scary to people. And that's actually why I launched this podcast. Like, the mission of this podcast, Disrupt Tech, is anyone can do it. And so we're giving you tips on how to do it. Like, it doesn't have to be scary. You know, you just have to know exactly how to navigate through the virtual world. So I truly appreciate you coming on and kind of giving insight into that. Again, it's Palette Club. Can you please give us the website again and any social media so that people can look you up and see your amazing user-friendly site?
I appreciate that. Yeah, our Instagram is at palette_club. That's PALATE. And the website's the same, paletteclub.com. And my personal Instagram, if you want to reach out, is Aubrey Pops Bottles.
Okay. And do you have a Facebook?
Yep. The Facebook for is just Palette Club without the underscore. Okay. Friends there too.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And everyone, check out Palette Club. It sounds amazing. I'm actually going to check it out. I love wine. I would love to have you on again at some point to discuss even more great things as things develop. I wish you much success with that. I know we'll keep in touch. And also, in addition to that, I wanted to say that please, 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 treat my Leon well.
Yeah, we're taking good care of it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. You have a good day, Aubrey.
Okay, you too. Thank you so much. Bye. Bye.
Do you want to advertise with Disrupt Tech Podcast? Then contact us today. You can reach us at disrupttechpodcast@gmail.com or our Facebook at Disrupt Tech Podcast. We love to have you on, and we love to have you as a listener and also an advertiser. For more information, contact us at disrupttechpodcast@gmail.com. Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did. I love speaking with Aubrey. It was a great episode. She gave a lot of awesome tips mixed with her amazing passion. So don't forget, you know, if you want to have any follow-up for what we discussed today, as far as starting an online retail business, what's the steps, what's the processes, what are the tools for success, any follow-up questions you may have for Aubrey or myself, be sure to reach out to us at disrupttechpodcast@gmail.com, our Facebook group or Facebook page, Disrupt Tech. We are here for you. Okay. So thank you for joining us for today's show, everyone. And look out for next week. We'll have another special guest. I'm not going to ruin the surprise, but definitely be with us. Then look out for all updates on our social media and as well as here. So without further ado, have a great weekend. Happy Memorial Day.